This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. CJ, subtle message that's gotten a lot of reaction on our text page today when we played it earlier. If you're the 9 o'clock crowd may not have been here earlier. Here was CJ on the McAfee show yesterday. This is, a subtle message to those of you that attend the home games here at NRG Stadium.
How's the crowd been? Crowd's been insane?
Yeah, it's been cool. Last game was like a playoff game. It was pretty nice. And, you know, it's 12 o'clock games a little different in Houston is because, you know, there's a lot to do out here. So we really don't get nobody until like first quarter. But the people who come early, thank you. Appreciate it. But it's all love, though. Like it's been loud, though. It's been really loud. Like the Bears game was amazing. Felt like a playoff game. Last game felt like a playoff game. So, you know, it's up on the uprise.
Yeah, there's a lot to do down there in Houston. That's why what you were able to do as a rookie down there without being distracted is insane.
Yeah, it's really not that insane. CJ's kind of a homebody.
The whole thing about it is, yeah, there's a lot to do in Houston. Is there that much to do on a Sunday morning other than church?
Well, yeah. Right. There's very few people. Like, and I get what CJ's doing. He's being nice about this. He would if everybody were in their seats. So he's just using it as sort of a, you know, there's a lot to do here. He's giving you guys a pass is what he's doing for not being in your seats early. But the whole, I'm with you, Seth, there's a lot to do in Houston. Like, there's a lot to do in Houston is the excuse for missing the game entirely. Like, yeah, we decided to go to NASA or we went to Galveston. Like, a lot to do in Houston doesn't mean, like, why were you late? We were at the Museum of Natural Science. We got there just in time for the middle of the first quarter. You know what I mean?
Like, having the bodies exhibit again, you know, with all right. The dead people that have the physiology on there and everything.
Yeah, man. We were at the Funeral Museum, and we just barely made it for the second quarter. Like, it's a lot to do in Houston doesn't...
Rothko Chapel was just renovated. Yeah.
No, people like drinking and eating in the parking lot, one, and they don't like waiting in lines, two. I think those are the big things. Yeah.
The one of the culprits people had pointed out was security. I don't know about... it doesn't seem like the security at NRG is any different than in any other stadium. Like, that's just, there's going to be lines. There's a lot of people all going in all at once. Yeah. I think part of that might be because, look... You've got a traditionally late arriving crowd that's trying to change their ways, but they're still pushing it. So, you know, an hour before the game, or at least like when we walked in, there was a huge line, 20 minutes before the game to get into the gates as we finished up our pregame show last week. So I think people are making the effort, and it did feel like it was more full early in the game.
Definitely more
than
full.
Usual.
More
I think we're making progress on this. We're just going to keep chipping away at it.
Yeah, trending in the right direction for sure. I think too.
I think one of the listeners pointing out that they could let people into the tailgate an hour early, do it at 7 a.m. instead of 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Maybe that would make all the difference in the world.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think that one, and of course the counterpoint somebody had to that was, yeah, that's cool. They get to drink an hour longer before the game. That won't result in any incidents inside the stadium. It's like, I don't know.
There's going to be incidents.
There's going to be.
That's not my goal here. My goal is, don't tell me about the byproducts. I'm looking for the fuel, baby.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the goal is just to get people in the building sooner. That's just the goal. Your stated mission is we want people in their seats by noon. You do a little happy hour pricing on some of the alcohol inside the stadium from 9:30 until 11:30. You'll get people in there. You'll get more people in there than normal, I think.
They had a, like, happy hour pricing or just some kind of, I don't know, maybe whatever, do like a special signature drink for that day or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, something.
The, yeah.
Something.
Something exciting to get in there for.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Free face painting for the kids? I don't know.
We had a few people point this out, and you pointed out this, the, you know, kind of the difference in time zones, like getting in at 1 o'clock to a game is just, it's easier than getting in by noon for a game.
It feels like
Sunday
it shouldn't
morning.
Be a big deal, and yet it is. Well, I've lived in both worlds. There's just a difference between 1 p.m. and 12 p.m. It feels much bigger than just 1 hour.
There are the where it's a big deal for people, apparently, from some of the people I've seen weighing in, is people that do still go to church on Sunday morning and then go to the Texan game. That's a big hour.
Turnaround.
That's a big hour. You know, is having to get there at 1 o'clock versus having to get there at noon here in the central time zone. You
that's
know?
On your selfish congregation, frankly. Like, they can't get their butts out of bed a little bit earlier,
right,
to go to church,
right?
You know, just like, do they have their priorities in order here?
Bring
I don't
that
think
up.
They
with them.
Do
bring it up with them at your next church meeting, listeners. Okay,
the various yes, bring that up. Like, hey, you know, maybe during home games we just get here. Get here a little earlier, you know?
I would say there are sometimes churches that you go to where the pastor or the minister or the priest, they do drop in a little prayer for the local team, you know, like, hey, today, mm-hmm. you know, they do it. It's a little tongue-in-cheek or serious. Who knows? I mean, it happened a lot where I went to college. They would definitely
pray. It all depends on probably whether that minister is gambling on the game or not.
There's that too. I don't know necessarily the reasons why they would do that, but if you do have a pastor or a minister that does that, I think they would be open to maybe being flexible with the start times to the services to get you to the game a little bit earlier. You know, clearly football's on their radar.
I want to go to one of these cowboy churches that they have. There's one on the way up to Nacogdoches, or like up past between Nacogdoches and Texarkana, that is like I drive past it all the time, and it's just like a huge pavilion. It's called a cowboy church.
Yeah,
I know. And I have no idea what it means, but I want to go. I just feel like I might be a little bit out of place in my hocus. That
you got to dress the part, man. If you're going to a cowboy church,
I'll go in Under Armour and hokas. That's my cowboy gear, damn it.
Okay, well, you at least need to sing when they do their hymns and things like that. All
oh,
right?
Yeah, I'll do that, That's my favorite part of church is the singing.
CJ was asked by McAfee. We saw the play to Nico, the 67-yard touchdown pass, and then the camera zooms in on CJ, and he just turns, almost like he knows where the camera is. You know what I mean? He knows where the fourth wall is. Turns, folded arms, just no, you know, just a stone cold reaction, just like not even jumping around. Here was McAfee asking him about that celebration.
You're still finding deep shots. I mean, you had one of the coldest celebrations this last weekend. I mean, this ball obviously in a bucket, but then the hands crossed, arms crossed, thud. That's one of the coldest reactions I've seen in some time. We knew we were doing this if the next shot or just in the moment felt like this was the right reaction.
I feel like it was just the right reaction. It was kind of just, I didn't plan on it, but I kind of did something similar last year, but just reminding myself and, you know, remind everybody it's regular. You know, just, you know, you give me the shot, I'm going to take it, you know, and I'm going to just make you pay. So, I often just have to remind myself, too, like, I'm still that guy. I can still play this game at a very, very high level. So I think that was just like one of those moments like, yeah, like, it's like that. So
I had to remind everybody.
I'm not always that way.
I had to remind everybody this is regular. That is an awesome response.
I'm fighting off the middle-agedom here on this one.
Yeah, you're about to sound old, I can tell.
I'm about to sound like Colin Cowherd.
You got an old guy look. You got an old guy look on your face.
This is how strokes happen, Sean. I'm fighting it off. I'm 49 going on 68.
You're not a fan of the arms folded celebration.
I don't like quarterbacks striking a pose. Oh, I don't.
There it is.
Strike a pose.
Can you imagine if he did the hands above the head, hands on the side, like Madonna? That would be great.
I felt it, and I was like, yep, there it is. You're just a grumpy old codger, aren't you, Seth?
He did that. He did the last time I remember him doing that was the play to Tank in, I think, the Cardinals game, where CJ broke the pocket, he rolled to his right, and he kind of motion Tank, like, hey, go deep, go deep, go deep. And Tank made that catch where he jumped up and caught it. And then CJ just turned and folded his arms. And I'm like, man, that's badass. Because I want to connect with the 25-year-olds, man. I think it's, I don't know what Seth thinks about this, but I think it's badass.
Sean's going to claim that he thinks it's badass.
Yes. Yeah. Kids, I thought it was the greatest moment of the game on Sunday. I don't know. I don't know about
you. I need you to remain stone faced and focused on the next series, damn it.
Texans are this fun young team.
Okay, never mind. I hate the arms folded. Sorry. No, that's what I got to sound like.
It honestly, it caught me by surprise a little bit that I was kind of like, eh, I don't know if I like that. But I don't, I think it's a little bit of PTSD from Deshaun.
Maybe.
I think it was almost like a little bit of, I have all, every now and then, I see the word legend or legendary, and I'm like,
Now
I need to talk to a counselor about this.
If I'm being serious about this. If CJ were to throw a touchdown pass like that, and his reaction is to go down to one knee and start strumming the air guitar, I would I would request an intervention. I would go to
see, that wasn't an old man thing. That was like a cheese alert.
It was,
the fact that
it was
the Rock Boys thing was annoying. Yeah.
Yes, it was a faction that didn't deserve to be a faction. And then the quarterback jumps in on it. Like, Deshaun, you're supposed to be above this kind of stuff.
The Rock Boys thing was annoying, and also the cosplay was the all-time worst.
The linebackers
coming in doing cosplay, dressed up like various video game characters and everything. That was embarrassing. That was just embarrassing.
That was bad. Here's C.J. Stroud, actual football take. Feelings on the Texans' offense so far this season?
Hey, listen, that can't be happening against Indianapolis anymore. You hear me? That's one of the nicest throws of all time. And you say, like, I have to remind people this is regular. Is there throws or is there moments in games where after something happens, you go, damn, I can't believe that happened? Is there anything that surprises you anymore, or do you have full confidence in everything you're doing?
I would say I have full confidence. You know, I'm very humble at the same time, but I know what I can do on the field. I know that there's no defense for the perfect throw. So I just really, it's just, you know, you got to just be able to focus in those moments. I seen you and Tyrese over there going crazy. So, you know, I had to hush y'all boys. I was trying to look at y'all after. I think y'all left. Y'all beat the traffic.
Okay. All right.
Whoa.
These tight streets down there.
I was trying to find you.
They're no different than Mark Wahlberg leaving the Super Bowl early in Houston, remember? Marky Mark bailed?
Yeah.
When the Patriots were down in the Super Bowl?
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. Took his kid with him and went home.
McAfee left early.
He left early. Well, he left. It's funny because if we had kept playing that right after, McAfee's like, yeah, you know, sometimes I actually had a meeting. We had to do a meet and greet after the game. It's weird. Yeah. The last two Texan games, the meet and greets happened much earlier than he was pretty funny about it, actually. But
hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How about, you know, the thing about McAfee is, all right, how's that play in Indy, I wonder, when he just, like, butters up these Texans players so much, like CJ, about how awesome he is and how much it sucks that they're going to be so good for so long. It feels a little bit like, do you remember, this is, kids, if you've never seen this movie, it's awesome, Pumping Iron. It was Pumping Iron was a documentary about Arnold Schwarzenegger back when he was a bodybuilder, before he was a successful actor.
Or the governor of California.
He had done like a couple of B movies up to that point. It was before Conan the Barbarian and all that. So, but it was this first, it was this documentary about this bodybuilder, which was a super niche sport at that time. Yeah. But they followed Arnold Schwarzenegger around, and it was crazy. You could see how charismatic he was. It's really interesting to just watch how freaking cocky this guy was.
Yeah.
But there's one of the big storylines in this was Lou Ferrigno was this up-and-coming bodybuilder who was going to, you know, try to take on Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Ferrigno had a dad who was just super a motivational father, like keeping after his son, yelling at him while he's working out and everything. And the whole time, in the beginning of the movie, they're showing Lou Ferrigno's dad basically like, you're going to beat him. You're going to beat him. You're going to take him on. He's nothing. He's nothing. Then when they first all meet at the Mr. Universe competition and Lou Ferrigno and his dad see Arnold face to face, all of a sudden Ferrigno's dad is like, oh, Arnold, you're the best. Oh, you're the best. You're incredible. Incredible. Nobody's ever done what you've done. Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable how good you are. I mean, like, Ferrigno must have been like, thanks a lot, Dad.
So is Ferrigno the Indianapolis Colts fan base?
Yes.
Where they feel a little betrayed.
Except the better speaker.
Right. Yeah. We had Ferrigno up in studio one time, me and Ted and Rich. He was awesome.
He's an interesting dude.
Really?
Yeah.
And he went on to become the Incredible Hulk on TV. He's probably what he's most famous for. He was great. He was really cool.
So I feel like he's a little bit like Ferrigno's dad.
Yeah.
He's talking all this smack about the Texans and everything, and as soon as CJ Stroud shows up, it's like, oh, you're the best. Nobody's ever going to beat you, CJ Stroud.
So that would be like if JJ Watt, let's say JJ Watt had his own national show. I'm not comparing McAfee to Watt as players, but I'm comparing them as personalities associated with one team. Like if JJ were to bring on, you know, guys from the Colts or the Titans, let's say JJ got like Will Levis on or something like that, and all of a sudden he's buttering up. Yeah, you're right.
It's tough. The only thing it would be if he was interviewing Peyton Manning, and then it's tough because there's always that dynamic of like, all right, Peyton Manning had the Texans number forever and ever.
Yeah, he's really good.
So there's only so much smack you can talk, you know? You just got to acknowledge that, like, yeah, he beat the snot out of us a lot.
Let's play one more here, Stroud and McAfee. McAfee, this is the end of the interview, totally breaking balls on CJ about his advice he gave to Caleb, unsolicited advice he gave to Caleb Williams after the win over the Bears.
What do you got the rest of the day?
Man, I'm about to chill, watch movies, just try to get my mind off the game for a little bit. It's cool.
You're going to text Caleb Williams? You know, you talk about... All right, okay. You're the man. Yeah. You're the man. Have you guys talked since then?
No. You know, I wish him... Like, he balled out last week. I'm happy for him, man. That's dope. Seems like he's getting his niche and his groove.
Hell yeah. Happy to hear that. Ladies and gentlemen, a man who's going to be up for MVPs every single year from now until seemingly 2040. Ladies and gentlemen, CJ Stroud. Thank you, man.
CJ. All right, CJ.
Maybe. All right, CJ. I haven't talked to Caleb, he says.
No.
A lot going on. And Caleb's balling. Caleb's figured it out up there, which is what Caleb wants.
Okay, we're good. We got enough of McAfee. CJ number two on the MVP odds board, by the way, right now. Mahomes.
Who's number one?
Mahomes.
Oh, Mahomes. Okay.
Yeah, Mahomes number one, CJ number two. So
was Allen ever number one? I said that earlier, and then I realized, like, wait, was that just Josh Allen?
He may have been. I know he was number one in some of the QB power rankings that guys do and things like that. But he might have bumped up to number one. I think he's down to like four now or so. It's the same four or five guys, and probably will be, especially because they all play each other at some point here. But it's Mahomes, CJ, Allen. Burrow's record probably isn't good enough now to be in the mix. Darnold is like fifth right now on the odds board for MVP. Darnold's having a hell of a year, man. Sam Darnold. Can't talk about his fat face, man. He's putting up numbers.
Some of the teams that the Texans will play that still have really good defenses, you know, the Jets, they already played the Bears. The Chiefs have a really good defense, as always.
Ravens.
I think that there's not necessarily a spot other than within the AFC South where I'd say, all right, statistically, some of these things will start to stack up.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is that the Texans just have to figure a few things out offensively.
They got to play better.
They're doing some things well, but they're just not scoring enough points.
That's right.
And they flat out got to tie the run game in more effectively. They got to be better on first and second down. You just can't have CJ playing hero ball on third and long all the time and expect to really become what that I think they're capable of being.
Should the Texans be making a phone call to the recently ousted Robert Saleh? We'll discuss that. Saleh put a statement out. We'll see how he did in terms of his how he followed up on his getting fired yesterday. Shocked that he was fired yesterday. We will We'll get to that coming up next.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.